Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University presents Education at Your Doorstep, a program of learning for everyone.
We now bring you a lesson from English literature. The title is Development of Novel as a Literary Form.
The novel made its appearance round about 1700 AD. There were no classical models for it. In the course of its evolution as a distinct literary form, the novel had to contend with popular prejudice against it. It was treated as a less respectable form than poetry and drama. Frequent novel reading on the part of the young was regarded as the most dangerous employment to occupy. Jane Austen expresses this attitude in her Pride and Prejudice through a boastful clergyman, Collins, who claims that he never reads novels, considering it as his superior quality. Sir Desmond McCarthy expresses his distrust of the novel. I quote, "It's tenable that one of the mistakes of late 19th century and early 20th century criticism has been to regard the novel as a work of art. I am inclined myself to regard it as a bastard form of art." This attitude is similar to Plato's mistrust of poetry. As against this prejudice, a powerful claim that the novel is to be regarded as an art was made by Henry James, a great novelist himself. In his essay, The Art of Fiction, he said that fiction is one of the fine arts deserving all honors and emoluments that have been earlier reserved for music, poetry, painting, and architecture. The novel, as we understand it, is to be dated as far back as the 18th century to the writings of Richardson and Fielding. With Richardson's Pamela, it was considered that the English novel was born around the year 1740. It was in a series of letters like Lyly's Euphues, Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Cervantes' Don Quixote, and Daniel Defoe's Moll Flanders were already there to highly influence the future English novelists. The Decameron remains a collection of short stories, and the Arcadia unconcerned with everyday reality. Don Quixote, though inspired a whole genre known as the picaresque novel, it is itself perhaps too formally incoherent to be a true novel. Defoe was mainly concerned with rendering supremely and vividly the surface of life. He seems to have little time, patience, or talent for a deeper exploration of his characters themselves. Richardson, with his Pamela, hoped that his novel might introduce a new species of writing. His novel has a coherent plot with a good deal of suspense about the fortunes of a girl with whom many 18th century readers could identify. In addition to his personal genius, Richardson was lucky enough to write at a time when there was an almost wholly new audience for his works, a new reading public. The first circulating library started in 1740, and they were to have a profound effect, sometimes an unhealthy one, on the kinds of novels Englishmen would produce for the next 150 years. There was a new middle-class audience of sufficient leisure and literacy to want and be able to read novels about themselves and their world. In important ways, the novel got started as a secular replacement for the religious literature of the previous century. Fielding's Joseph Andrus makes us laugh at the attempts of the hapless Parson Adams to hawk his collected sermons to a bookseller. The market was dead for that sort of literary goods in the Age of Reason. Pamela was succeeded in 1748 by Richardson's masterpiece, The Million Word Clarissa, again an epistolary novel and also about a damsel in distress. At this time, Fielding, Richardson's ideological opponent and chief rival, was inventing a new mode for the English novel. Fielding answered Richardson's masterpiece Clarissa with his own masterpiece Tom Jones. Nearly everyone agrees that Tom Jones is a perfectly plotted novel. Coleridge went so far as to say its plot was one of the three most perfect ever planned in all literature, the other two being Sophocles' Oedipus Tyrannus and Ben Jonson's The Alchemist. The two other major English novelists of the 18th century, Tobias Smollett and Laurence Sterne, were less concerned with the conflict between vice and virtue than Richardson and Fielding had been. Smollett's Roderick Random and Peregrine Pickle are extremely loose narratives, but interest in them is sustained by the author's prose and above all by the passages connecting the naval life. In his Humphrey Clinker, Smollett gives an unparalleled picture of English low life that had endured to this day. Laurence Sterne's Tristram Shandy, published in 1760, went unmatched until the publication of James Joyce's Ulysses in the year 1920. Sterne combined all the conventions of writing and reassembled them as he liked. Tristram Shandy is a monument of aesthetic and philosophical speculations about the nature and the scope of the novel. Horace Walpole's The Castle of Otranto, his only venture in fiction, marks the genesis of the Gothic novel. It is in itself crude and almost unbearable today, except for unintended laughs. Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley's Frankenstein is supposed to be one of the masterpieces of the genre. Goldsmith's only novel, The Vicar of Wakefield, has been a favorite reading down the centuries. In the succeeding period, Sir Walter Scott became a popular writer and he established the trend for historical novels. His novels such as Ivanhoe, Quentin Durward and Kenilworth became the favorites of the reading public, not only in England but all over Europe. He had imitators all over Europe. Alexander Dumas is a great follower of Scott. Scott's younger contemporary, Jane Austen, was admired in her lifetime as the first significant novelist. Many critics regard her as the inaugurator of true English tradition in the novel. Jane Austen was an 18th century moralist. She had escaped entirely the infection of sensibility and sentimentality. They are only the materials for her satire. Miss Austen was never angry with her characters, but she showed contempt for the silly and affected and stupid ones. She relied more on dialogue. She restricted herself to a limited field and thereby achieved effective results through her delineation of character and skillful plot construction. Because of her rare perceptive power and sharp insight into human nature, her novels such as Pride and Prejudice and Emma have permanent value for the readers. She is the most technically flawless of English novelists. She concerned herself with human emotions and feelings instead of the ever-changing surface world, and therefore her novels have a certain timeless quality about them. After Jane Austen, we come to the Victorian age, which is a period of great achievement in fiction. The Bronte sisters, Thackeray, Meredith, Trollope, George Eliot, Charles Dickens, and Thomas Hardy are some of the well-known novelists of the period. Charlotte Bronte and Emily Bronte have very little contact with the outside world, yet they could rise to such heights of fiction. Both Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights show their maturity of mind and their knowledge of humanity. Charles Dickens had appealed to all ages. Each of his 15 novels has glorious and regrettable things in it. His novels such as David Copperfield, Oliver Twist, and Tale of Two Cities, where he has used all his skills as a writer to expose the social evils of his time, stand even today as great ones. With Thackeray, almost everything except Vanity Fair has been forgotten. In it, he was clearly challenging conventional attitudes of heroism to the relation of sexes and to the military versus the civilian virtues. George Eliot, originally Mary Ann Evans, the author of popular novels like Adam Bede and Meal on the Floss, is regarded as a major novelist of great importance. One of the unique features of her, Middlemarch, the supremely adult Victorian novel, is that it deals with the condition of marriage, something most Victorian novelists either ignored or took for granted. Eliot's psychological, social, and moral analysis of the effects of egoism make for the great impact of the novel. Hardy's fiction is concerned with more basic injustices in the cosmos. It is nothing less than a savage attack on the indifference of the gods to men. His novels, Far From the Madding Crowd, The Return of the Native, Mayor of Casterbridge, and Jude the Obscure, were prominent. Coming to the modern period, we see that the novel has established itself as the most serious medium of art and as the most popular literary form too. It is said that Virginia Woolf and James Joyce extended the scope of the novel as an art form through their innovations. James Joyce's Ulysses is regarded a great novel, especially for its stream of consciousness writing. D.H. Lawrence is unquestionably the greatest writer of this century. He expressed passionate convictions about life and art through his novels, Sons and Lars, Women in Love, Rainbow, etc. It is not possible even to list here the names of modern writers due to the time limit. We have to deal with the modern novelists like Galsworthy, H.G. Wells, who are noted for their social reform. We have Aldous Huxley, Orwell, and Foster, who have a special appeal of their own due to their intellectual content, liberal spirit, and social sense. We have Somerset Maugham as a great entertainer. It is difficult to establish the greatness of any one novelist against the other.
Development of novel as a literary form. That was a topic brought to you from English literature.